It's all from him, through him, by him, and to him. Everything we have, gift from him, and awesome thing we have right here this morning is his eternal word for us. So I invite you just to open up to Proverbs chapter 2. We're in a series through the book of Proverbs, walking in wisdom. There's so much rich, good wisdom, and all wisdom comes from him. He's the source of wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 2. And I don't know about you, but this week, okay, been out in the garden, right? Been out in the yard. Actually, I haven't been in the garden, the vegetable garden. Been out in the yard trying to trim trees. Finally broke down and mowed the front yard. Haven't mowed the back yet. It didn't need it yet, but I broke down and mowed the front yard. But man, getting out in the yard, all these like, man, this would be all so awesome to plant a tree here, get the grass looking really good. You have all these ambitions, right? And wouldn't it be awesome to have just like this amazing, beautiful landscape in your backyard? What's the most beautiful place you've ever seen, like garden? I remember me and Heidi going and seeing Butchert Gardens, and it's just like so beautiful. And go ahead and put that up there, Liv. Just this incredibly beautiful landscape. You know, it's just like so picturesque. That didn't just happen, right? It didn't just happen overnight. It didn't just happen with one person. Like, and that's what we find too when we're out gardening. Like, it doesn't just stay that way, right? There's constantly picking weeds, fertilizing, watering, making sure different bugs don't get on it, different fungus, all this stuff. Like, it is a lot of hard work that goes into it. Kind of the same thing with like planting your grass, right? It looks beautiful, but then you have to maintain it, right? A beautiful green lawn just doesn't happen. That looks like what I wish my backyard looked like. I'm going to hopefully get it to that point. But the idea is it doesn't just happen, right? Same thing, like if you have this vision, this beautiful vision for this, you know, fire pit with beautiful rocks all around it, like that doesn't just happen, okay? The theme here is like if you want those things, like you envision them, you say like that would be awesome to have them, but what do they take? Like lots of money, lots of work, lots of stuff, like, right? They don't just happen. And so like the theme this morning is going to be super simple in Proverbs chapter 2. I remember the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, he's just calling us longingly to plea and ask for wisdom. It's this call to wisdom. And this morning, the simple theme is wisdom doesn't just happen. Okay? Wisdom doesn't happen. Like, you might say, like, from chapter 1, like, man, I want it. I really want wisdom, Lord. Guess what? It doesn't just happen. If you really want wisdom, there's no shortcuts to godly wisdom and insight. The question is, are you willing to put in the hard work to seek after wisdom? Okay? Are you willing to put in and do what's necessary to get wisdom? So as we look at chapter 2, and if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles available. I want everybody to look at it in your own copy of God's Word. Let's look at it together. But this chapter, there's 22 verses, okay? And we're going to do it a little bit differently this morning. We're going to start in verse 5. And this chapter really is an if-then clause, okay? So all my friends who love if-then clauses, if you do this, then you get this, okay? And so verses 5 through 20, you see it starts verse 5 with then, okay? We're going to start with the then and just see, like, is it worth it? Like, is this something that we want, okay? And then we'll go back and we'll look at what is necessary, right? Because you know if there's an if clause, if you do this, then you get this. If you don't do this, then you shouldn't expect this. So let's look at verses 5 through 22, and we'll just run through it. We'll spend the most of our time on verses 1 through 4. But the first thing we see, verses 5 through 22 just say, like, God has amazing things in store for us if we would seek after wisdom. Like, the Lord has amazing things to offer us through wisdom. So just start looking through it. It's like, then, okay? So verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Okay, what's such a big deal about that? Well, those are the exact things that really, the beginning of wisdom, right, is the fear of the Lord. Like, go back to chapter 1. Like, how do you start? Where's the starting point with wisdom? Verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so right in verse 5, he's like, you're going to get that entrance point in. And the first couple of verses really just show, like, you're going to get what you're after. Like, if wisdom is what you're seeking, you're going to have access to wisdom. You're going to have this entry point. You're going to get that understanding and fear of the Lord, the knowledge of God, okay? I kind of think about it kind of like, you know, now, like, in TV, we used to just watch channels, and then you'd watch cable, but now it's, like, the age of streaming, right? And so instead of, like, what channel, it's, like, which streaming service do you have? And if you just subscribe to a certain streaming service, you get access to a whole library of shows to watch and just, like, binge watch these shows. And so what I think verses 5 through 7 is, like, you're going to have this all-access pass. Like, you're going to get the entrance. You're going to get the password and the code to get in, and you're going to have access to the Lord and his wisdom. And so look at verse 6. It just continues to go on. It says, for the Lord gives wisdom. Okay, you're going to have access to his wisdom. It says, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. And so what we see is, like, okay, where is the source of wisdom? It's like he is the source, so you are going to get access to the source of wisdom, which is awesome because, like, there's a lot of wisdom all over. Like, God has just given us a lot of wisdom through a lot of different means. But, like, where does it all come from? It comes from a source, right? Kind of think about, like, with water. If you see water going downstream, you know it came from somewhere, right? And ultimately, there is a source of that if you walk up far enough. And so it'd be great to find a puddle of water and say, okay, let's take some water from there. But why not go to the source and have an unlimited supply of water? What he's saying there is, like, there is a source of wisdom. Verse 6, it says he gives wisdom from his mouth. Like, he pours it out. And so again, like, then we will get these things. Like, I want this. I want to fear the Lord and have the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. I want to hear it from his mouth, all this knowledge and understanding he has to offer, because he's stored it up. Like, he's stored it up and it's ready for me. And so just in 5 through 7, we see, like, he's the source. And if we go through this verses 1 through 4, we'll have access to the source of wisdom. And I know for you, and I know for me, like, we need God's wisdom. There's so many different areas of our life that I just don't know what to do here, God. I need you to speak clearly into this issue. And so what he's saying is, God is going to speak into those issues that God has placed in your path. Look at verse 8 next. Just all the things that he's going to offer us through wisdom. Really, actually, 7b through 8. He says, a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of the just, watching over the way of the saints. What is he saying there? Like, God's wisdom, what he has to offer us is like a protection for us. Like, a shield was this defensive protection. It's going to guard you from all these different attacks, right? And look at the words he uses. It says he guards the path of the just of justice. He watches over the ways of the saints. Like, that's what God has to offer. If you would go through verses 1 through 4, he's going to offer you a shield in life. Like, that would be awesome. He's going to be this guardrail, right? That's what that word guard is. Like, it keeps you safe from going over the edge. I love that description. It says, watching over the ways of his saints. I kind of think about it like when you're a new parent, you have this, like, little baby, and they're just learning how to walk. You know how, like, new parents are, like, hovering over the baby? They're letting them go, but they're there to catch them if they get out of place. Or when they reach up to try to touch the stove, they're like, no, don't touch that. And it's like, it's going to guard you. It's going to watch over you. Say, hey, don't go there. Don't touch that. And when you're about to fall, it'll lift you up. Like, that sounds amazing. And again, in verse 11, he says, discretion will watch over you. The same language, understanding will guard you. I need protection because left to me, I'll get in a lot of trouble. I'll get hurt. I'll go through, like, things that are going to have lasting ramifications. I need God's word and his wisdom to guard me, protect me, to be a shield for me. Verse 9 and 10, it's like, how does that fit in? I love it, though. It says, then understanding verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, every good path, wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. And I was thinking, like, how does that fit in? Because verse 8 really talks about guarding. Verse 11 talks about guarding. And then what is 9 and 10 deal with guarding? It's not as much guarding. But I think right in the middle of this, what he does is shows how God's wisdom is going to give us, like, everything we need, okay? Because I need head knowledge, right? I need head knowledge, but I need heart knowledge, right? And I love 9 and 10. It just, like, it's going to give me my head knowledge, what I need. And look at that. It says that you will understand. So that's this thinking kind of thing. Your brain is going to know what righteousness and justice look like. Because there's a lot of things like, what is the righteous path? Like, what's right and wrong? What does justice look like? What does injustice look like? We need, like, information to make just and righteous decisions. These are moral goods and moral wrongs that we need the right and wrong on. Look at what he says. It says, equity, good path. Like, I want to stay off the bad path. I want to stay on the good path. Like, it's going to give you the knowledge that you need, and our heads need a lot of knowledge, right? But throughout this whole study of Proverbs, I think the last thing that I would ever want for myself or for any of us is to get a lot of head knowledge that never turned into heart knowledge. Like, that never moved my heart to loving the Lord, bowing before Him more, that God's word would never change my heart. That's the last thing I would ever want for any of us. And so that's where I love verse 10, because 9 said, like, He's going to give you the understanding you need. But look at verse 10. It says, wisdom will come into your heart. And that's so important. So I just plead with you, as we study through this book, as you go through this wisdom on your own, don't just leave it in your head. Let it come into your heart, because God wants to change your thinking, but He wants to just reshape your heart. Because the heart that I have is wicked, and I need it to be made right. I need to make it made righteous. I need God to give me this heart of flesh, not a heart of stone, to make me sensitive to the things of God, not hardened to the things of God. And so God promises that if we go through this and open our hearts to Him, that He'll come and He'll reshape our hearts. The next part of the verse, it says, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. The heart part of it is like our desires, our wills, our longings. The Hebrew word, it really gets to, like, that's the seatbed of your emotions. Soul is like your life, like your breath, your being, like you are your soul. Right? And I love where he says, like, it will feed your soul. And I think, we have a lot of, like, physical hunger, physical thirst, but our souls have thirst. Our souls have hungers. And what he's saying there is God's going to reshape your heart, but He's also going to feed your soul. Because your soul has longings that things of this world will never satisfy. Your soul has deep desires. And just like His word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so as we go through this, don't close off your heart. Let His wisdom come into your heart, reshape your heart. Let it come and feed your soul. And so say to God, like, God, please feed my soul and reshape my heart. So there's awesome things that God is going to do in us. Again, we read verse 11. It's going to watch over us. It's going to guard us. And then it also talks about delivering us, right? There's a lot of things and people that are after us, and He is going to deliver us from them. First is just this path, right? Delivering you, verse 12, from the way of evil. And there's a path that seems right to a man, right? And its end is in destruction. And it, what he says is, man, that path looks great, but it's full of traps and snares, landmines, different booby traps, all these different things that are going to cause so much pain in your life. Don't go down that way of evil. Actually, wisdom is going to come in and redirect you, guard you, and keep you safe from that path, the path of evil. Not just a path, though, but evil men, right? From verse 12, it says, from men of perverted speech. And then just look at the description of these people that wisdom is going to guard us from. It says, who forsake the paths of righteousness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Okay, like this is a list of like people that I don't want anywhere near my wife and kids, right? And I don't want them anywhere near me. Like you wouldn't want these people anywhere close to anyone you love. Like these are dangerous, harmful, sinful, evil people. And so what he's saying, God's gonna use wisdom to deliver you from the ways of evil and also the people of evil. And then next he talks about a specific person of evil, the forbidden woman. He's gonna go in depth in chapter 5 and 7 and talk more about her. But I see this as just like this temptation that really can lure us in and kill us. And so in verse 16 he says, you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. He reminds us in verse 18, like this is what happens when you go down that path. It says, for her house sinks down to death, her path to the departed. None who come back, none who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So God says, like, I'm gonna keep you safe from this as well. And it's all this like, man, I want this, I want this, I want this. Verse 20, he talks about the good path that he's gonna lead us along. Reminds me of Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. He gives me everything I need. So look at verse 20. It says, you'll walk in the way of the good. Keep the path of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land. Those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land. The treacherous will be rooted out of it. This whole chapter, verses 5, on or just this like invitation, like this is what God would love to give you. And this is what really the promise of Proverbs, right? God's gonna direct your path. He's gonna keep you safe from harm. He's gonna guard you, watch over you. He's gonna lead you and provide for you. He's gonna meet your soul needs. Come to God for his wisdom. But here's the kicker, and kind of when we go back to the very first, like all of us would want that amazing, beautiful garden, but do many of us have it? No, none of us really have butcher gardens in our backyards. Some have more amazing backyards, but very few do. And the same thing is with wisdom, right? Like I would guess every single person in this room would say, like, do you want those things? We'd all put our hands up, right? Like most people in all the world would say, like, would you like this path? Most would say, yeah, of course. But we know very few get it, right? Like if you think like who really follows after this and gets those things, there's very few people who would say are truly wise. Why is that? Why do so many want it but very few obtain it? Well, it goes back to the if clause, right? If. You know, we want these things, but we're not willing to go through the if. And so let's look at verse 1 through 4 because this is really the homework. Like we want verses 5 through 22, but are we willing to go through the if? And look at each one of it. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then. Like we want to jump all the way to verse 5, but we never go through verses 1 through 4. And that's just like part of our DNA, part of our culture. Like we are the microwave instant society, right? We want everything right now. That's why we have so much credit card debt. That's why we lack wisdom in so many areas of life because we want it all now, but we're not willing to put in the hard work. So again, like this morning, this sermon is so simple. Like if you want wisdom, if you really, really want it, will you put in the hard work that is necessary to find it? If, then. So let's just go through verses 1 through 4. And I think it really starts verses 1 and 2 with the right stance, okay? It starts with the right stance. He says, my son, if you receive my words, treasure up my commands with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. Okay? We're in March Madness now, right? Okay, so basketball. I love basketball, and there's going to be a lot of amazing games that already have been, and if the ball is getting ready to pass, okay, who are they going to pass to? Right? Are they going to pass the ball to the person whose back is to the passer, who isn't looking at the passer or isn't ready? No, they're going to pass to the one who's ready to receive it, right? It's going to take turning their body, opening their hands, looking at the person, and knowing what they're going to do with the ball, right? That's who you're going to pass to. And it takes the right stance. You have to turn your body the right direction, open yourself ready to receive it. And that's kind of what we see. He says, my son, if you receive my words. And we could just gloss over that and run over that, but what does it mean, if you receive my words? Like, what that means is, first, I have to know that I need the words, right? We've talked about that before. Like, I need to say, like, I need to listen, but I also need to have my hands empty of what I think was going to give me the wisdom I need, right? Because, again, you're not going to receive a pass if you already have a basketball in your hand. And I think so many times we think we have the answers. No, God, I don't need your wisdom. I got my wisdom. Or I don't need your word, because really this word right here is the entirety of godly wisdom for life, right? We have like God's wisdom for life right here. And so many times we're like, God, I don't need that. I have this other book that I'm reading, and it's got everything I need. Or, man, I got this friend. I got this wisdom from culture. I have this podcast that I'm listening to, all these different things. God, I'm good. You can keep your wisdom. Like, if you're going to receive it, you got to empty your hands and say, God, I need it. Because I know, left to my own devices, I am needy and I am helpless. So receiving it means that I empty my hands of everything else and I turn to him. That next word there, treasure up my commands. What does it mean to treasure up God's commands? Like, well, what do we do with things that we treasure? Okay? Like, what are your most treasured possessions, okay? For you, some of us, maybe it's a car, right? If, like, you treasure your car, what do you do with it? You're probably out on Saturday, like, washing it, right? And you won't even take it to the car wash because that might damage it. Like, you do it by hand. Like, if you treasure it, you treat it special, right? No one's going to touch this car but me. I'm going to be the one washing it, right? And you use the highest-end products on it. And when someone comes in your car, you say, sorry, no food or drinks allowed in my car. Like, right? Or maybe for some of you, like, it's this brand new couch that you got, right? And the kids are bringing over their nachos, ready to sit on there. Like, nope, sorry. This is my special, I treasure this. Maybe it's a spouse. Like, if you treasure your spouse, all your husbands out there, or wives, like, we need to treasure. Like, what do? You treat them special, right? Like, what does it mean to treasure? It means to think about it. You use it, you prominently display it, you protect it, you tell people about it. Like, you treat it differently than you treat other things. Would you call God's word a treasure? Well, God does. Look at a few verses. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is just like a love letter to God's word. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's just this amazing love letter. It goes through every letter of the Hebrew alphabet to just say how awesome God's word is. And in Psalm 19, we get this theme. What does it say in verse 72? It says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Like, right, it's this stance. Like, when we look at it, we look at it differently. Like, if I had, like, thousands of gold and silver pieces up on this podium here, like, what would you, like, man, let's fight for it. Let's go and grab some of that gold and silver, right? Like, do you look at God's word like that? Like, seriously, like, he uses this image of, it's better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Like, the author of Psalm 119 is like, he treasures God's word and God's wisdom. Verse 127, it says, therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Let me ask you this. Like, this week, if you're saying, like, I'm going to treasure God's word, what would look differently? What would look differently this week if you're, like, committed? Like, this week, okay, he says, if you treasure it, I'm going to do this. I'm going to treasure God's word. What would it look like this week? Again, next chapter of Proverbs 3:13 through 15 says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Like what he's saying is, like, there's treasure out there, but this is the greatest treasure you are ever going to find. And my guess is, like, most of, if not all of us, have at least one copy of God's word in our home. Like, I have, like, a bunch of copies of God's word all over. Like, in my pocket, I have, like, 30 translations of God's word. We have God's word overflowing in our lives. You can find it online. You can find tons and tons of printed copies in tons and tons of translations. Like, we have it, but do we treasure it? Like, do we really treasure it? So he says, if you treasure up my commandments with you. I love verse 2. He says, making your ear attentive. Really, I think, again, this is a stance. Making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. Okay, in marriage, like, I'm still learning a lot, okay? But there's one thing that I'm starting to understand, and I'm getting pretty good at it, okay? Like, early in our marriage, I was bad. Heidi would want to have a conversation, okay? And so what would I do? Well, I have a bunch of different things going on, and so I'm going to keep doing this, and I'm going to, no, she did not like that, okay? Like, if we're talking, she wants my attention, right? And I love those words. It says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Like, if you're attentive to somebody, you're not focused on something else. And so in my, like, just depravity and just being a bad husband, I'd watch TV. I want to watch this game. But no, we can have a conversation. And that doesn't work. That's not making, like, that hurts her as a wife, because I'm not treasuring her. I'm not making my ear attentive to her. I'm half listening to her. And really, she doesn't get any of my heart, right? He says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. And so when you're attentive to somebody, you're not distracted by other things. You're not focused on other things. You're not looking at your phone trying to have a conversation. And I think this, to me, is probably the biggest thing that is so important. If we're going to search for wisdom this week, we got to get rid of distractions. Like, getting our stance right, really facing the person, right? You face the person, you listen to them, you really pay attention, and you interact with them. This week, like, don't just go through the motions like, okay, I need God's wisdom. I'm going to read a verse, and I'm going to do it while I'm surfing on my phone, while I'm listening to music, while I'm trying to have a conversation or have something on the TV, or the kids are yelling in the background. Like, you got to find a time and a place to get away from it all. And so what would that look like where you can actually really, truly give God's wisdom your attention? Like, really incline your heart to understanding. Again, like, this all sounds amazing, but very few people are going to get rid of distractions. And for me, what I have to do is I have to get rid of this. I have to either turn it on silent or airplane or put it somewhere else. Because I've noticed that I'll be reading and then I'll get a little beep. Oh man, I wonder what that was. It could be something really important. Okay, there's times when we need to know something really important is coming through, but what I've found is almost every single time is something that could wait 5 minutes. But we make this, really, we turn our hearts to this, and then we hardly hear from wisdom because we've never made our ears and our hearts attentive and inclined to it. So what is that going to look like? Again, like, are you going to be one of the few that says, no, this week I'm going to get rid of distractions. I'm going to give it my center focus. I'm going to spend time in it away from distractions and really listen to it. So it starts with, like, this stance. What kind of stance are you in? And how does your stance need to change? I kind of think about it like the old-fashioned TV antenna, right? We don't have this problem anymore, but I used to have to get up on the roof or when we had one in the house, turn it, angle it, do all the different things to try to get the right signal, right? And so, man, if you don't have the right signal, what are you going to do? You're going to keep adjusting until you get it. And so this week, like, keep adjusting until you get it. Don't stop. Keep tuning your heart, tuning your listening, tuning your mind, right? to get wisdom. So it starts with this right stance. And then I think it continues, and this depth of growth continues through this pursuit. So it's not just getting in the right place and say, okay, I'm ready, right? Kind of like going back to that original garden. Like, I really want the garden. I've set aside space for the garden. I'm ready for the garden. What do I need to do next? I need to pursue it, right? I need to go out and do the hard work. If part of it is just getting ready for it, getting in the right place. Okay, this space is set aside. The money is set aside. I have time set aside. But I have to get out there. And here's the bottom line. There is no substitute, no shortcut. You know, in our world, we're just longing for shortcuts, right? I kind of think about it like this. I might be one of the few, but I love road trips. And I don't like flying places. I'll do it just because sometimes we need to get there. But I love to drive, not just to get to the destination, but just for the journey with somebody I love. Okay, one thing I love to do is me and Heidi just get out and start driving, okay? We might have a destination in mind, but we'll stop for coffee along the way. And conversation will be going, okay? And we'll see something really cool out there. We'll see something really funny over there. But it's all experiencing things together along this journey. And what I found, and this is just what I've seen through God's word, but just in life, is there's no shortcut to knowing God. There's no shortcut to knowing wisdom, to becoming wise. It's doing this journey with God through his word, through a digging for it, and searching for it. And so many times we're so focused on the destination. God, I just need to get in and get what I need and then get out. And God is saying, hey, guys, it's not just about getting the information. It's getting me. It's getting to know me, hear from me, speak to me. It's going on this journey for wisdom together. And there's just no shortcut. There's no instant gratification. It's this slow process. That's what I've seen. I wish I grew instantly. I wish you grew instantly. But what I've seen, and part of shepherding the flock of God, is sometimes it's this slow, it almost seems stagnant, but if you're faithful and you keep going, there's a slow process of change that God is wanting in each one of our lives. And part of it is just searching for his wisdom and getting to know him. Again, like, this is hard work. Very few do it, but it's well worth the journey. And so look at this journey that we're going on with God in his word. It says, if you call out for insight, if you raise your voice for understanding. Verse 3 tells me, like, you gotta beg for it. You gotta ask for it, right? You gotta seek it, okay? So it's getting in the right stance, but part of it is just calling out, raising your voice, okay? And both these verbs, all these verbs in the Hebrew are in this tense, the yiktol. It's like the imperfect tense, and it says, like, do it and keep on doing it. It's this process. It's not like call out. It's call out and 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 call out. Like, raise your voice. And I love that raise your voice, because to me it says, like, when you call out for it and you don't hear it, and that's part of it. Sometimes you're going to say, God, I need your wisdom. Will you give it to me? And you don't hear anything. So when you don't hear anything, what do? Well, so many times we give up, but what he says, like, raise your voice, right? If you're at a restaurant and the waiter comes by and you say, hey, they didn't hear you. You can give up and say, okay, we didn't get it. Or you can raise your voice, hey, I really need you. And what I think he's saying there is, like, call out and keep on calling out. Beg God. And when you don't get it, keep on begging God. And when you still don't get it, call it even louder. Raise your voice. Listen and beg him. It looks like prayer, right? What's your prayer life look like? I think a lot of times we take that James chapter 1, right? Like, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God, right? And we need to ask in faith. We don't want to be tossed, but we think of it as like this one time, okay, I'm going to ask God, and then I'm going to go about my life, and maybe somewhere along the lines, he's going to just pop it in there. And sometimes he does that, but most of the time what I've found is this process, right? I said, God, I need your wisdom. And then I wait, I read, I study, I pray, and then I do it again. And then I do it again. And I don't give up. You know that persistent widow, right? She doesn't give up. She keeps on going back to this wicked judge. And so what the point of that in Luke 18 is, like, you have a heavenly Father who wants to give it to you. And so call out like a woman did with the wicked judge, to continue to wear God out. Would you say that you've worn God out? Or have you stopped before that? You know, there's certain areas that we need God's wisdom and we're begging him, but eventually we're like, okay, I'm not getting it, so I give up. What I think this looks like is when you don't get it, beg out even more, cry out even more, cry out even louder, and don't give up till you get it. Okay, verse 3, I think it says like, don't give up, keep crying out, keep raising your voice until you get it. And then verse 4, what does it say? It says, if you seek it like silver, search for it as for hidden treasures. Okay, if I told everybody that I have like 10 tons of silver buried in my backyard, what would we do? We probably have a lot more people coming to youth group tonight, right? But like seriously, like if there was 10 tons of silver in my backyard dug, you know, buried somewhere, what are we gonna do after church? We're gonna go and we're gonna get some shovels. Like, hopefully someone has a backhoe. We're going to go out there and we're going to start digging, right? That's why I called this sermon Digging for Treasure. Like, we're going to get out there and get to work, right? And most of the time I've found that there's not too much silver just you know, hanging out on the surface, right? Or like they said, the hidden treasures. And what hidden means is it's not visible, and that's how most treasures are, right? Right? It's down deep. And you're going to have to dig down deep to get it. What does that mean? It means like search for it like you would search for silver. Like for hidden treasures, dig and dig and dig. And don't stop digging until you get it. It's like knowing how valuable it is, expecting to find it, and not giving up until you do. Okay? What would it look like this week for you to dig deep into God's word? And I think a lot of times we'll read a verse and then we'll say, okay, God, please give me wisdom. We close it. Next time we open a different verse, like we don't dig like we need to. Again, Psalm 1 is part of this wisdom literature. It's really a proverb about this wise, godly man. And look at verses 3 and 4. It's like, man, this sounds amazing. It's like, this is what I want. It says, he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yield fruit, season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. Like, I want to be this tree planted, firmly rooted, having everything that I need, prospering. I don't want to be like chaff that's just blown away. Like, yeah, of course I want this. Again, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. It takes hard work. Verse 1 and 2, like if you want that, this is what you need. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Okay, he hangs out with the right people. He stays away from the wrong people. But look at verse 2. His delight, like it's his treasure, right? His delight is in the law of God. And it says, on his law he meditates day and night. Like, yeah, I want to be that tree, but do I meditate on God's law? Do I treasure it? Do I do that day and night? Again, God's not going to be mad if you don't stay up all night reading the Bible tonight, okay? What is he saying? Like, he's in it. And there's not a day that he's not in it. There's not a time when it's not doing something in him. We read that word meditate and we just fly over it. What is that word? It's a word used a lot in the Old Testament. In Psalm 119, that love letter to God's word, it says, I meditate upon your word. Again, we know that the bad meditation where we just empty our minds of everything, that is ungodly, unbiblical, and you're going to be filled with a lot of bad stuff. What is biblical meditation? Because God wants us to meditate on his word day and night. That's the godly one who becomes wise, a tree planted by streams of water. The one who meditates on God's word is the one who slows down to think deeply on scriptural truths. They fill their mind with scripture, and they don't rush. They stop, get rid of distractions, and let God's word sink in. I think of it more like osmosis than the fire hose, right? We just want the fire hose. We want like instant. The one who meditates just slows down. They read the word, and they don't jump through chapter by chapter. They stop, read it again, and then put it down and say, God, what does that mean? They start this conversation with the Lord. God, what does it mean for me to do this? God, what's keeping me? They start asking questions. God, what's keeping me from do this? How do you want me to do this? Where is it not happening? What is in the way? They start asking questions, and then they start listening for answers. They memorize it. They meditate on it day and night. I just want to give us some homework, okay? But I think it looks like it's hard work to dig, okay? You get dirty, you get sweaty. What would it look like this week to dig deeply into God's word and find wisdom? I'll give you just a few words that I thought were really important. Dig daily, right? What do you say? Day and night, right? What it means is regularly getting into God's word. So I challenge you, would you dig daily? There's no substitution for the daily practice of going to God and his word for wisdom. So like, would you like every day this week? I know this is radical, but he says, what does he do? He meditates day and night. Like, why would this be radical? Every day I need God's wisdom. Every day I need to connect to God. I need to hear from God. So why wouldn't I do it every day? So make digging a daily practice. So dig daily, dig deeply. Don't rush it. Don't just look for the answer. Remember, so much of the answer is in the journey to get to it. That's why there's no substitute, no shortcut. And so what God's going to do as you just wait on him, listen to him, hear from him, meditate on his word, there's this journey that you're taking with the giver of all wisdom. And he's going to do things in your heart, do things in your mind. He's going to change you, transform you. It's not just getting to the answer that you want. It's changing you into the person he wants you to be. So dig deeply. Dig undividedly, right? Get rid of those distractions. So what are the biggest distractions that are really keeping you from digging daily and digging deeply? Like, dig undividedly. Those are the things that are going to keep you from doing it. I promise you that if you don't dig undividedly, you're going to be really lacking. So silence your phone. Find a time and a place to be alone. Get rid of those distractions. Dig intentionally, right? If we're going to lay out my backyard searching for this 10 tons of silver, we're going to come up with a pattern, right? We're going to dig in this spot. We're going to dig to this depth, and we're going to go to the next spot. So don't just hunt and peck. Okay, give me my wisdom for the day. Like, read it like you would, that you wanted to get to know this person. So you, like, start with the book of the Bible. Proverbs would be a great one if you want wisdom. Just read through it. Read through it slowly. Let it sink into you as you sink into it. Okay? Do it intentionally. Like, maybe the same time at the same day. Do it in a systematic way. Plan, study, use the tools God's given to you. Take notes. Write down what you're learning. That'd be awesome. And then dig devotionally. Again, like, we can't say this enough times. Don't just get it for the answer. It's not just a thing. It's a person behind it. And so dig devotionally. Like, start it with prayer. God, I need you today. I need you right now. And thank you so much for giving me your word. Like, start it with prayer and then pray throughout as you are led and finish with prayer. Like, talk to this person behind this truth. Look for the person behind the wisdom you seek. So let's dig this week, okay? It's a lot of hard work. It doesn't just happen. But I promise, if you do this, then God is going to give you these things that you need. Okay? God's going to provide. He's not this father up there who loves to withhold. No, he wants to give it to you. But he wants you to seek him. He wants you to dig deeply. So this week, let's do that. Let's dig daily, dig deeply, dig undividedly, dig intentionally, and dig devotionally. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. And God, we don't want to just look at it like a textbook, looking for the answers we need for life. But we know that your wisdom for life is true because you're the creator of all things. You know how your world works. You know how we work. You are the source of all wisdom. So God, this week I pray that you would show us how valuable your word is, that it's this treasure that's worth more than anything else we could ever have. And this week, God, as we dig deeply, as we really search for you like silver, really dig deeply as we would for hidden treasures, would you faithfully give us what we need? And would you change us in the middle of it? Would you mold us and shape not only our minds, but our hearts and our souls? Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us.